appeared when she flinched, and looking to the priests for approval. She felt the first blood trickle down her face. Someone with a jeweled ring had scraped it deliberately across her forehead. But the priests stopped him.
"Not yet," one of them said. "The master has plenty of time for this one, slave, and more skill than you know. Draw no blood, slaves, at this time. Be obedient, or suffer his punishment."
The man in front of Pox paled, trying to hide his blood-stained ring. The priest laughed.
"Do you think to hide from the master, fool? Yet you share our vision. You are only hasty. You will taste her blood later. Be obedient."
He confronted Pox, pushing the spiked visor of his helm into her face.
"And you, little paladin, do you fear yet? Do you begin to regret your bargain?"
"No." To her surprise, her voice was steadier than her limbs. "I do not regret following the commands of my lord."
"Then we will instruct you," he said, and made a sign to the guards. "You have seen the punishments in Phelan's army. See how you like ours."
As he spoke, the guards forced her back over a small waist-high block, looping her wrist bonds through a hook on the floor of the platform. One of them leaned a fist on her chest, and two others pulled her knees down and apart. Pox felt her back muscles straining. The priest who had been speaking slapped her taut belly and laughed again.
"It bothered you when our servants pulled your hair? Then we will ease you this far, paladin. You will have no hair to be pulled. You know the term Tanisi Turin?"
The crowd laughed obediently, and the second priest came toward her with a razor.
"It may not be as sharp as you would like," he began, "but it has certain advantages for our way of doing things."
As he spoke, he yanked on her braid and sliced roughly at her thick hair. In a moment or two it fell free. Pox could feel the ragged end stirring, the cool air on her scalp. He walked away. When he came back, two assistants were bringing with him the little brazier she had seen, and the razor he held was glowing hot.
"It cuts well this way," he said, laying it lightly across her ribs.
Pox tried not to flinch. But by the time he had shaved her head and the rest of her body hair, leaving raw burned patches that the chill air rasped, she was shaking. The watching crowd talked and laughed, like people watching a juggler at a village fair. The priest watching her nodded.
"You will learn despair, little paladin. Even now you are finding what you did not expect. And now we will brand you with Liard's mark, that you feel in your own flesh his mastery."
One of them seized her ears, bracing her head, and the hot iron came down, its horned circle held before her eyes a moment before it pressed her forehead. For an instant, it felt cold, as it hissed. Then searing pain bored through her head. Tears burst from her eyes, she choked back a scream. The priest laughed.
"Now you are Liart's. You may stay there, while we attend to other matters that need the master's touch."
Pox could see nothing of what happened next. She fought to keep control of her own reactions. She heard a name called, and someone cried out in the crowd. A flurry, a frightened voice, a boy's voice, and another one pleading, a man's voice, older. The priest made some accusation. Pox did not attend to the words, but the tone came through. Then the boy's voice again, frightened and rising to a scream of pain. She heard blows, a whip, she thought, and more screams, then the man's voice sobbing, then the priest, cold, arrogant, demanding. And the man's voice again, in submission. The priest returned to her and grabbed her by both ears, holding